Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on September 19, 2023, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to week three of the Live in Freedom series, a study in Galatians.
Let me pray for us, and then we will jump in and see what God's got for us tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for this place. I thank you for these men that you've brought here on purpose. Lord, you have drawn them into this space to receive something for you. Let your words flow from my lips tonight, Lord. Whatever your message is, let me get out of your way and you deliver it. Lord, we love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I need to start by saying this. I'm going to be just transparent with you guys. Y'all can pray for me. I know Mark had said, was joking, and maybe you're not joking, but you know, we have some guys that are in this room that are part of what we call a men's lead team, which is kind of like a vision team, but really it's better put this, they keep me in check to make sure I don't get too far off the rails. But, you know, God has really been moving in all aspects of FaithBridge, right? I'm sure if y'all's wives are talking about what's happening in women's ministries, you see what's going on with kids ministry and kids programming and students and all that. But, you know, being a guy and this being my lane, I am naturally really proud of what's happening here. But what's happened is all of a sudden we start, you know, looking at those analytics and you're like, wow, there's a lot of momentum. And sometimes I feel like, just being real with you guys, it's kind of was in that message, I think, a couple weeks ago, that it's like sometimes you feel like we gotta keep that energy high, right? Because something's exciting and it's new. And so we're all here tonight, we're jumping in, we're ready to learn something, be a part of something great. And then we kind of hit that rhythm, and it's like the newness is starting to wear off. So really, I guess what I'm trying to say is thank you guys for being here tonight, because I know there's moments where you're like, you know what, I'm tired, I've had a long day. I could just have a night at home. Of course, if you have kids, you're like, well, maybe I want to go to church. And, you know, but it's like, what's your break look like? I don't know. Maybe break is at 10 o'clock when all the kids are in bed. But the point is you guys are here and we're going through this. But that's the thing, is it takes all of us. It's not just me. It's not the guys who are in leadership, whether you're a grow group leader or whatever it is, to keep the growth going and keep guys really moving. It's, we've got to be here, right? And so thank you guys. I know the middle of the week is when we kind of get to that, just drudging along a little bit. So let's pray for all of us that we, you know, just be present and be ready to receive whatever God, he has you here for a reason. And I'm excited that you guys are here. So, and then if you're thinking about me, you can pray. It's like, yeah, I don't want to shoulder that all on myself and try to maintain, but let God do all that, right? So anyways, thank you guys for being here. All right, well, with that, let's jump into Galatians 3 tonight. And to kick us off, I love how Paul starts this section where he goes, "Oh, foolish Galatians." There is a fun way to start tonight, right? Now, if you look back, if you like to study Greek, I'm pretty sure in Greek this translates to "you morons." No, I'm just kidding. Don't quote me on that. I'm sure, you know, Pastor Steve would have a field day with that one. Obviously, that's not what it means. But I think the sentiment is still the same. Right, that it's like Paul's going, you got to be kidding me. I could not make this any easier on you guys. Right, like, why are you adding to the burden to carry? Like, so he starts with this, oh, foolish Galatians. So I'm reminded of a friend of mine who was telling me the story that he was teaching his daughter how to do addition, right? And, you know, preschool little girl, we all used to be there, right? You start with your fingers, right? Like having to figure out, okay, if I have five fingers here and if I have five fingers here, okay, that's 10. A 10, right? So he's trying to work with her to figure out like 1 + 4. So he's like, okay, hold up one finger. So she's one. Like, okay, hold up, you know, four more. Like, see, 1, 2, 3, 4. How many fingers do you see? Little girl's like, 4. He's like, no, do it again. One finger, okay? Now, 1, 2, 3, 4 more. 1 + 4. How many fingers do you see? 4. He's like, no. Count your fingers. How many do you see? He's like, she's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he goes, 5. She goes, this is a thumb. Sometimes I feel like, for a lot of us, we're like, why is this so complicated? I feel like Paul is getting to that point. He's like, guys, like, I can't make this any easier. Sometimes I feel like Paul was actually sitting there and he's like, okay, all right, Galatians, here we go. Do you know that there's a God? Like, uh-huh. Okay, who is Jesus? Son of God. Got it. What did he do for you? He died on a cross. Great, we're tracking good. Okay, what does that mean for you? My sins died with him. Awesome. Now, what does he ask of us? What's the one thing that God wants from us? To believe. Yes. So how are we saved? Got to be good. No. Like, that is, you missed it again. It's faith, right? So that's where we're starting off tonight, is that this whole thing, point number one is, it always started with faith, right? It always started with faith. That's point number one tonight. Even the Galatians, he even says in these first couple verses where he said, even through your faith, and the Spirit came to you through your faith. It started with you. But Paul does something very strategic, right? Because the Judaizers, which we talked about in the very beginning, you know, the Jewish Christians that are corrupting the gospel, right? They're trying to make, through circumcision, they're trying to get Jews and Christian alike to start adhering to the law via circumcision, right? So what does Paul do? Man, this was brilliant. This was a strategic moment that Paul did where he goes back to the very beginning where it all started, right? To the man of faith. And that's where we see and we pick up where he mentions Abraham in verses 5 and 6. He said, "As he who supplied the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness." All right, like, why does Paul do that? Why does he do that? Because he knows, okay, we got to go back to the very beginning. We got to show you that even the one that you're accrediting the law and the circumcision to, even with him, his salvation, his righteousness came from faith. The man of faith, right? Circumcision came later. That came later. And so this is where I want to take us all the way back. I think this is so great, but we're going to look at chapter 15 of Genesis and verses 5 and 6. Of course, I have the wrong page tagged, but in verse 5 and 6, this is where we see this. He goes, "And he brought him outside." So this is God bringing Abraham outside. And he said, "Look toward the heaven and number the stars." Now, I like this because this is like God's sense of humor, a little sarcasm for you. "And count them if you can." Like, I think of like the desert sky, right? That's where they are. They're in the desert. "Count the stars if you can." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness, he being Abraham. Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Then we also see in chapter 12, we'll take a step back to the even further beginning. In verse 3, sorry, is it, oh, sorry, 2 through 4, I'll just capture this, but he says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And in all you, and in you, all the families," this is where Paul mentions nations, "in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. See, guys, the point is the blessing and the promise came first. Right? That's what's really cool about this. That was the first thing God did. God made a promise to him, and he put a blessing on him. But where do we see his faith? Where do we see Abraham's faith? Right there. "And he went." He went as the Lord had instructed. There was no checklist that Abraham was following. There was no requirements. The law wasn't a thing yet. That was 430 years later. There was no law for him to follow. All he needed to do was follow God and trust God. And that's what he did. He put his trust in him. So the blessing and the promise came first, and then that's where we start to see the circumcision. So this is where then Paul ends in verse 9. He ends this section. And he says, "So then, those who are of the faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So he brings Abraham back into the equation to say, look, you guys are tying the whole circumcision and the law thing. Let's go to the guy who it all started with. Like, the guy. And he is the man of faith. Why? Because he did what the Lord had asked him to do, and it was counted as righteousness to him. All right? So that's where it all starts. So if it starts with Abraham, it starts with us. That's what Paul's trying to make us realize, is it starts with you guys. He's trying to get the Galatians to understand. It starts with faith. That's where it starts. That's all we got to do. All right? It all starts with faith. That takes us now into our second point for the night, Point number two is now we are justified by our faith. So what do I mean by justified? Where sometimes we get weird on some churchy terms. Justification, justified, is not the show. Don't get me wrong, love that show. It's a cool show, at least the beginning of it. Kind of got weird at the end. But I don't mean justify the show. I mean we are justified back to God. We are made righteous back to God, right? That's the whole point. There has to be some level of justification for us, for our brokenness. Through our faith, we are now justified and brought back to God, to himself. Okay, so that's what I mean by that. And it is only by our faith, not by our works. There's nothing you can do. And this is where Paul explains it. We see in verses 11 and 12. He says, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law." No one is justified before God by the law. "For the righteous shall live by faith, but the law is not of faith." So see, he's saying the law does not make you justified to God because it's not faith. The righteous live by faith, not by the law. So I think I know we got some new guys with us tonight. So I want to make sure that I've said this. But I think some of us actually need a reminder. Guys, there is nothing that we can do. I know I've just said it here before, but I want to make sure I'm clear. There's nothing we can do that makes us holy and righteous back to God. There's nothing you can do. There's no checklist you can follow. There's no how much money is in your bank account. It's not like, well, let me pray this many times. Let me do this so many times. And all of a sudden, I'm reconciled back to God. That is not it. Don't be deceived by somebody who may tell you that. And don't be arrogant enough to think that I'm good enough. You know, I've done good enough to be reconciled back to God. God, guys, this is God of the universe, right? The holy God. Like, by definition, he is holy. He existed before time. There is nothing we can do to be reconciled back to him, nor can we even think that we can be good enough. But there's good news, I promise. There's good news to that. I was taking my oldest daughter to Rose Hill Christian. That's where she's at school right now. And if you know where we live, you know that that's a little bit of a drive for me every morning. But the blessing is I get about a 20-minute one-on-one conversation with her, just the two of us, unless, of course, like most kids, she waits to do her homework till she's in the truck on her way to school. Yeah, that's always fun. But on this one particular occasion, actually 2 days ago, she starts the conversation, and she's like, "Hey, Dad," this is after finishing a portion of her homework, and she goes, "What's the difference between our faith and other world religions?" Right? She's trying to understand, like, what sets us apart, and I love this because she's like, "What makes ours better?" I'm like, there you go. I like that. So what makes ours better? Now, the theologian and the dad mode all kick in, and I'm like, man, how do I cover 3,500 years of history into 5 minutes, because that's about how much time I had left. And I'm like, well, baby, you see, back in Genesis, I'm teasing, I didn't start in Genesis. I'm like, okay, let's try to simplify this as best you can. And this was what came to my mind. There are a lot of religions who say your life is in the balance. It's on a scale, right? If you do enough good that outweighs the bad, you're good. You're not good. That never works, right? And I said, so, point is when you die, under these other religions, they're going to look and they suppose that God looks at it and goes, well, you've done this much good and you had, this much bad, so good's, heavier than the bad, so you're in. Like, that's not the case, because we remember what Jesus said, where they were challenging Jesus about the law, and he says, oh, sure, maybe you didn't step out on your wife and actually have an affair, but you thought about it. So the whole point of the law it isn't just to follow a checklist. It was really to show this is how broken we really are. The fact that your thoughts go against what God thinks about, there's nothing you can do, because even your thoughts will fly over your head. They're like, man, God doesn't think about the things that I think about. Maybe I didn't actually do the act wrong, but he's clarifying, saying, guys, it goes beyond just our actions, our thoughts, our heart, all this other stuff. So see, that's the point, is when you have this scale, so I'm showing her this, when you have that scale, there's really nothing you can do. And that's when I realized, I'm like, oh man, I gotta be careful what I say about my kids, because immediately she goes, well, that sucks. I'm like, yeah, it really kind of does. Thank goodness for God's grace, because she's literally getting out of my truck. And I love this, because she goes, well, thank God for Jesus. I'm like, that's it, right? If an 11-year-old can capture it, she gets that, right? The scale's kind of tossed out the window. But if you want to use that scale analogy, it's here's all my bad and here's all my good. And God goes, it's Jesus. That's it. That's all that's needed, right? So that's the point, is that through Christ, we are now justified. Our faith in Christ, we are now justified back to God. God says, you got my son, let's get rid of the scale. It doesn't matter. This is all you need. This is all you need. So we're made justified back to him. And that's where he ends this section, the middle section, in verse 14. He says, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. That's so cool. That through Christ, we receive the blessing from Abraham, or to Abraham for the Spirit. All right? Because remember, the blessing and the salvation went to Abraham first because of his faith. Because we've chosen that, and we'll wrap this up in a nice pretty bow, because we step into that with our faith, we are now received the same promise and the same blessing. And that leads to our final point for the night, which is we become heirs of that faith, right? We receive that same blessing through our faith. We become heirs of the promise through our faith. Now, I'm going to pull off on the side of the road real quick, because this is where I know some of us may get stuck, and we're like, okay, well, wait a second. So I understand that God made a covenant with Abraham because of his faith, but then why circumcision? Like, why then did he need to be circumcised? Like, if faith saved him, what is the point of circumcision? Well, circumcision was the mark. I think Pratik did a great job last week for us, where he clearly explained, in some funny terms, but clearly explained that, you know, the circumcision was now the mark, the outward mark. I don't know why. It's like, oh, yep, I'm a Jew. You know, it's like you're just lifting up your kilt. Why couldn't we have like a tattoo on the cheek? I don't know. But that's what he picked. And that was the outward sign, because God was now starting with Abraham. He said, you are my chosen people that will bring my name into the world, that they will know me through you. So you have to look different. Again, why that? Why he chose that? You know, there's more to it. I'm making light of it. But the point is that was the mark that separated them from the rest of the world, and that they were God's people and they were to bring his name in, right? But it was his faith that saved him. It was not the circumcision. Okay, this is where, you know, I laugh sometimes, because I'm like, I wonder if like our cynicism kind of started with Abraham's moment in this. Because you think about this for a minute, like when somebody's like, hey, you know, would you want $1 million? Sure, because you don't hesitate ever to ask, like, but what do I have to do for it? Right? I imagine this conversation between God and Abraham. He's like, Abraham, you're my guy. You're gonna make my name known, and I'm gonna make you the guy. They are gonna sing songs about you and your children for another 3,000 years. There's gonna be a U.S. president named after you. They're gonna celebrate your name. You are the father of many nations. And, you know, he's going, sweet, I'm in. Lord, I'll follow you. What do you want me to do? What do you need from me? Well, I'm gonna need a little skin in the game, as Pratik explained, right? And so, but you know, like now I envision, like, he's probably pulling out his wallet, and he's like, well, like, I don't know, like 100? I don't have a lot of cash, but, you know, take some goats. And he's like, not what I was talking, not the kind of skin in the game I'm talking about. But that's where you kind of go, and it's like, man, be careful when God says, hey, I'm calling you. Just, I love that Abraham's like, I'm in. And then that's when he tells him, by the way, this is what's going to happen. He's like, you're already in now. There's no going back, right? So you're mine. But the point is that, as we see this covenant, that's where I want to make sure I've articulated that the circumcision was the mark of that covenant that he made with Abraham, but it was his faith that saved him. And the cool part is that when he talks about his offspring, Christ was the offspring. Now, theologians can look at that one word and they can say it's both singular and multiple. All right, so we had many descendants, right? We are all descendants by faith of Abraham. But they also say it was singular. And he was talking about the offspring. The, capital T, is coming. And that's when the promise will be fulfilled. And that's when all people will step in. Just like he promised to Abraham, all nations will be blessed because of you. All right, so the blessing comes to us. So to wrap this up and make this look like a pretty bow, let's end with these final couple verses, where in verses 25 and 26, where he says, but now the faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. You guys will talk about the law a little bit at your table, but now that faith has come, we're no longer guardians, right? We are now part of the blessing with Abraham. For in Christ, you are all sons of God through faith. And that's awesome. We're all sons of God by our faith. He wants us back. He wants us. That's all we got to do is step into that faith. And if you are in Christ, is the final verse in verse 29. If you are in Christ, I love how he wraps this up, you then are Abraham's offspring. Like, I love that, that imagery. It's like you are part of the family. You're in. You just have faith, and you are part of that offspring that began thousands and thousands of years ago, all right, with Abraham, according to the promise. So here's how I want to close it. I want to make sure that we've got this imagery. On the one hand, you have Abraham, right? And it was his faith that saved him. Then we have the circumcision that was the mark of that covenant so that the world would know who these men and women are. Well, men. But who these men are. And then you have the law that came later. Because some people are going to wrestle with the law. The law was that element that said, this is what you will look like as my people, right? It's phrasing that. That's also revealing some brokenness y'all can discuss at your tables. But that's what the law in general was for. So then over here, you have Christ who came, and he is the fulfillment. He is of the line of Abraham. He's the fulfillment, the offspring that took the pain and punishment that we so deserve, and he took it to the cross. He is that offspring. So faith in him, we're saved. That's where it starts. Abraham had faith, and we have faith. We're saved. We are now considered righteous to God when we have faith in Christ. He was the fulfillment. So now we're saved. Okay, what's the mark? Circumcision was the mark for Abraham. That's what it had to be. For us, the mark is the baptism. And make sure I'm clear on this. Baptism doesn't save you. That's the mark. You are saved by faith. But then we step into baptism when we say we are now washed and we are identified with Christ. Like, we take that on. That's kind of like the circumcision. And then the best part is instead of the law, I'm not nullifying it. I'm saying the fulfillment of it is the Holy Spirit in you. The blessing and the gift is the Holy Spirit that comes to you by your faith. And the Holy Spirit begins to shape you and form you of what the law was describing you look like. A man who doesn't commit adultery, who doesn't steal, who doesn't do this, who don't do that, don't do that. The Holy Spirit is working all those things out in you. And it's not like, okay, I have to do this, 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 this. He's like, no, we're going to start forming and shaping you. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Abraham's faith, our faith, saved. Circumcision, baptism, law, Holy Spirit. We got it? We tracking? All right. Well, let me pray for us, and then you guys jump into your table discussions. And I know table leaders, it's going to be a good night. I love this particular chapter. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you so much for these men here tonight. I thank you for what you're doing. And again, I thank you for your Spirit, Lord. I thank you for faith. I thank you for grace from you that through our faith, we are considered your offspring and we are in your family. And we praise you and we love you for that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.